Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 9, day 2 of our study of Galatians and Colossians. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Colossians 3, 5 through 11. Well, welcome back to the 10-week Bible study. Again, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs. Would you join me as we pray before we start today? Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us, God. Speak to us and fill our hearts with the knowledge of you. We need to encounter you in your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. Reading today from the NIV, this is Colossians 3, starting in verse 5. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Let's pause right there and go back to the beginning of this. Yesterday, we were talking about how Paul is saying we need, unlike the phrase that I went at length over, you know, you don't want to be so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. Paul dispels that. He says it's just the opposite. The people who are of the most heavenly minded, the people who have set their minds on things above, they're of the most earthly good. And so then Paul's saying we're hidden in Christ, right? And so because we are hidden in Christ, because our identity is found in Christ, we're going to want to do good works. Now, Paul is going to first start by saying, because we're hidden in Christ now, put away all of the earthly desires, right? Get rid of all of this nastiness that comes from these earthly desires. And here we're going to go through them. Let's go through them one at a time. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. So, you know, sexual immorality, that's pretty clear scripturally. Our modern context is not so clear with that. There's so much confusion in our modern context of what is actually sexual immorality. Now, the Bible is eminently clear on this. Old Testament, New Testament, there is perfect cohesion between the two as far as how clear it is of what sexual immorality is and is not. And sexual immorality is fulfilling any sexual desires outside of a wedded relationship between a man and a woman. The Bible is nothing but clear on that throughout the entirety of its pages. So when we try to reimagine scripture, when we try and reinterpret things in some kind of more modern context, it just adds confusion, and it's absolutely not true. Now, listen, you can believe that it's fine to, you know, live in sexually immoral ways. You know what? You're free to do that in modern society. You can do that. You're just not free. You are just not at liberty to say the Bible says that's okay, because that is absolutely not true. And one of the issues we face in our modern context is people wanting to have their guilt taken away. They want their guilt removed because they feel it. That's the real issue at hand here, is because we cannot sin and just sin freely without the conviction that comes with that. But and this is not just our modern context. This is people throughout all of history. This is humanity. This is human nature, is that we want to sin. We want to do these things without consequences, without guilt, without shame, without remorse, and all that kind of stuff. We want to do those things. That is human nature. And so for all of human nature, we've tried to, you know, make excuses and come up with ways why it's not bad and it's not wrong, right? Fine, do that all you want, but you cannot do it using scripture. Scripture is just too clear on this. It's absolutely too clear. And anybody that says, well, you know, the Bible says that, you know, being gay is okay or whatever, it's just absolutely not true. Now, again, listen, like in our modern context, like there's laws and freedoms to do all those kind of, like, you can be that way. And the point that I'm trying to make, I'm not saying that it's good that you just get rid of the Bible and say, you know, I'll live as sexually immoral as I want. What I'm getting at is it's entirely up to people to live however sexually immoral they want. And people have done that for thousands of years. They really have. it's this desire to reinterpret scripture, because really that is where deep down inside, people know that is where their guilty conscience comes from. They know that's where the pain comes from. They know that's where the rub is happening, is that, oh my gosh, there's this book and there's this God who doesn't approve of what I'm doing. And that's absolutely true when we are living openly unrepentant, sexually immoral lives. Now, a big difference, and I've been very consistent on this in the podcast, and I want to say this again. There's a huge difference. And what Paul is talking about is when living sexually immoral is when you are living an unrepentant, sexually immoral lifestyle. That is very different from stumbling into sexual immorality, repenting and running back to God. That is a very different thing. All of these things here, we are talking about living unrepentant lives before the Lord. Very, very different.
I'm not sure than, I understand.
Siri didn't understand. very, very different things, right? So we are talking about making excuses, justifying ourselves in our actions is a very different thing than struggling with sin and trying to overcome, right? Two very different things. And we need to make sure that we have that dead set in our minds. Those that struggle with sexual immorality, call it sin, repent, run back to God, they are found clean before the Lord. The blood of Jesus covers their sins. Those who give themselves to sexual immorality, anything else on this list, and make excuses for it and say that it's okay because of this and that, or, you know, because the Bible says this and we've interpreted incorrectly, all this, whatever they want to come up with, absolutely not true. Absolutely not okay. You do not stand before the Lord with that kind of argument, if that makes any sense. All right, let's continue on with this list. We have impurity, lust. I think all of those things kind of go together with the sexual immorality. Paul moves on to evil desires, you name it, right? That's kind of like the catch-all here. And then he finishes this list with greed. And he says, greed, which is idolatry, right? greed is this wanting to have, the reason he's calling it idolatry goes to where you're actually making idols. You're making physical things, generally out of precious metals and things like that, to worship, right? Saying, this is my God. This is the God that I have just created that I'm going to worship. And when you do that, really what you're doing is you are, as Paul's saying here, all of these things, you're setting up your own desires, right? Anytime you fashion a God in your own making, one that you can make that out of wood or stone or gold or silver or gems or anything, like, anytime you fashion your own God, you are the one making the rules. You are the one justifying yourselves. You are the one coming up with this construct of how you want the world to live. And that all comes down to this desire to fulfill every single thing that I want. All of these things, right? Greed. I want my money. I want my stuff. I want all of these things. And I don't want anyone else to tell me that I'm wrong about them. And so I create this other God. I fashion this thing in my own image. And that's what this is all about. Paul's like, can't do that. And he says this about it. Verse 6, because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Paul is saying, you know, because of all this stuff, because people are giving themselves over to earthly desires, the wrath of God is coming. The reason the wrath of God is coming, it's very clear throughout the Old Testament prophets, the book of Revelation, anytime Jesus or anyone else in the New Testament talks about the end times, the wrath of God is coming. And the wrath of God is coming because when we give ourselves over to all of these earthly desires, they almost always lead us to abuse other people. They cause us to sin against other people, to do wrong to other people in more and more heinous ways. And I believe you can see that in our world today, the level of heinous disregard for human life and dignity is on the rise at a speed probably never before seen in human history. And that's what all of these things cause. And when people are abused, when these kinds of things happen to other people, they cry out to God. They cry out to God and they ask him for vindication. They ask him for salvation. They ask him, even people that don't know God, it is in our nature to cry out and say, God, help me. God, save me from these wicked people. It's in our nature just to cry out to this one that we instinctively know created us that we can't see. And when God hears those cries, he responds with his wrath. We see it all throughout the Old Testament. And he's not responding indiscriminately with wrath. He is responding to the cries of people who are being abused and mistreated. So Paul tells us, get rid of these things now, right? He's going to give us a second list. Anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language, right? All of these things, they defile us. They defile us. The first list of things they defile, they mess with other people. This stuff, they actually defile us. And anyone who engages in anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language, you know, you feel it within you that it defiles you. And these are all things. It's like Paul was just looking at a window into our modern society, really. And in the end, we're not really that much different than people throughout history. But we have been granted a means of seeing this take place. We have gone in the span of less than 100 years, maybe even 50 years. We have gone from the societal norms, not necessarily people adhered to these, but the societal norms, the generally accepted societal norms, were based on Christian values, right? You don't respond anger, rage, malice. And everyone has their stories about how things were privately at home and all that kind of stuff. I'm not saying that people weren't bad. I'm just saying that our society generally accepted Christian morals, Christian decency, if nothing else, as kind of like the way that we functioned. And we've watched that erode and turn into something completely different. I mean, it's 180 degrees from 50 years ago, maybe even 30 years ago. I'm not sure, depending on who you are and who you ask, that time frame, you know, is somewhat subjective. But we have certainly seen the erosion of those kind of values and the replacement with these things that Paul's saying: anger, rage, malice, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed. All of those things have replaced the heavenly things. And I'm not saying that people were heavenly minded 50, 70, 80 years ago. I'm just saying that at least our society was accepted those things as normative. And now actually, not only they're not normative, they are actually looked down upon. Verse 9, do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here, there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. So Paul rounds out, he's like, above all, don't lie to each other, right? You've gotten rid of all that. You've gotten rid of all of this kind of stuff. And then he throws in this thing that was huge in the book of Galatians, and he's kind of touched on it here or there in the book of Colossians. It's really a theme that's running deep in Paul's letters to these two churches in what we call Central Turkey, right? There's no Jew or Gentile. There's no circumcised or uncircumcised. Jesus has done away with that. He's made us all one in his family, right? And so then he goes on, he says, there's no more barbarian, right? We understand that word. The Scythian is kind of a pejorative term here. There's no slave or free. Christ is in everyone and is in all things, right? Those who put their faith in Jesus, he is the last word, right? So it doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile now, you are in Jesus. And that's the point of what Paul is saying here in this passage and in this chapter. We are all in him, and we must live accordingly. There's no first and second class citizens, and there's no more living for these earthly lusts and desires that we have. We must put our mind on things above. And by His grace, we will. For the 10-week Bible study, I'm your host, Aaron Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time.
Hey, thanks for tuning into the 10-Week Bible Study Podcast. If you've enjoyed this podcast, would you consider leaving a review for it on your podcast app of choice? It really helps other people find out about this podcast, and my heart is for people to fall in love with God's Word. Thank you.